Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Diana Grayer, and next to me is my wife and co-host, Sheridan Gohl. October, you know, is
LGBT
History Month. Mm-hmm. And it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I just wanted to throw that in. So keeping the theme of the LGBT History Month, we want to say hello to our special guests. We have Lois and Steve Basham, our very own Jeff Basham, Outbeat Salon members' parents. So we want to say welcome to you, Steve and Lois.
Hi, it's nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. We can't wait to hear your stories.
They're here to talk about their experience, their Jeff's parents, because, you know, as gay, we're all gay children of somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't really know about the experience of our parents. We just kind of leave them out in the wind as we're doing our coming out thing. So we brought Lois and Steve on tonight to talk about their experience, their journey of parents of a gay son, and how it was witnessing his struggle with himself and society. And we're not only here to talk about their son's experience, but about their own. And I think that's really, really important and key. And we're going to get back to them, though, after news and events from Outbeat member Joel Bellagio. So we'll see you back here in about 5 minutes or so.
Say, say, say. Tell it like it is.
This is Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio. In international news, according to an article in the Washington Independent, Senator Robert Menendez has introduced a comprehensive immigration reform bill that, if passed, could help the estimated 24,000 gay and lesbian couples in the United States that include at least one foreign partner. The Uniting American Families Act establishes rights of same-sex couples to bring their foreign partners to the United States. Under the current system, straight couples can petition for their foreign-born husbands or wives to move to the United States as legal residents. But gay and lesbians are denied the ability to petition for foreign partners, even in states that allow gay marriage. While it is unclear whether this bill will pass, advocates for gay rights and immigration reform applaud the inclusion of the Uniting American Families Act to Menendez's bill. Meanwhile, in further U.S. news, in reaction to a shocking series of gay youth suicide reports, Ellen DeGeneres posted a video on her website in which she states that she was devastated by the death of 18-year-old Tyler Clementi. If you don't know, Tyler was a bright student at Rutgers University whose life was senselessly cut short. He was outed as being gay on the internet and he killed himself. This month alone, there has been a shocking number of news stories about teens who have been teased and bullied and then committed suicide, like 13-year-old Seth Walsh in Tehachapi, California, Asher Brown, 13, of Cypress, Texas, and 15-year-old Billy Lucas in Greensburg, Indiana. DeGeneres stated that this needs to be a wake-up call to everyone. Teenage bullying and teasing is an epidemic in this country, and the death rate is climbing. One life lost in this senseless way is tragic. Four lives lost is a crisis. And these are just the stories we hear about. She goes on to say that she wants everyone out there who feels different and alone to know that there is help. You can find support in your community. If you need someone to talk to or you want to get involved, here are some organizations doing great work. The Trevor Project at 84664UTREVOR. It's a 24-hour national helpline for gay and questioning teens. You can learn more about the Trevor Project on their website, thetrevorproject.org. Angels and Doves is a nationwide anti-bullying nonprofit organization. Their website is angelsanddoves.com. The National Center for Bullying Prevention is helping to promote awareness and teach effective ways to respond to bullying. You can learn more about them at their website, pacer.org/bullying. The Matthew Shepard Foundation runs Matthew's Place, an online community and resource center for LGBTQ youth. Their website is matthewsplace.com. We here at Outbeat Radio find ourselves in agreement with Ellen. Please, if you need help, seek out local organizations that are ready and willing to help. In California legislation, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed the Unemployment Benefits Act, AB 2055, which ensures that same-sex couples in California have access to unemployment benefits. The bill was introduced by Assemblymember Hector De La Torre and sponsored by Equality California. Currently, heterosexual couples who are engaged to be married are eligible for unemployment benefits if one of the partners must leave his or her job in order to move closer to his or her future spouse. This bill extends those same rights to couples who plan on entering into a domestic partnership. The bill is specifically beneficial for same-sex couples because they are prohibited from legally marrying and therefore unable to receive these benefits. And closer to home, October 7th in Sausalito, its Marin Men for Men group offers supportive community. The Men for Men community group meets the first and third Thursdays of the month. The next gathering is Thursday, October 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. and is a free ongoing drop-in peer support group for gay-identified men. For more information, check that out online at SonomaBoysNightOut.com. And there you have it. This is Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Balaji.
And welcome back to Living Proof on Outbeat Radio. This is Diane Ann Sheridan, your co-host for tonight. And in studio, we have two very special guests with us. We have Steve and Lois Basham, parents of our Outbeat member, radio member, engineer, extraordinaire, Jeff, who's in studio with us tonight, actually. So here we are.
Here we are. So I'm looking forward to hearing this story, and I hope all you out there are as well. So Steve and Lois, let's start with when you found out, Jeff, when he came out to you. Let's start there. Can you begin telling us how that was?
Okay, when we first found out from Jeffrey, we found a letter on our kitchen counter, and at that point, he didn't come out and exactly say that he was gay. What he did at that point was to say that he was bisexual. And, you know, I've since found out that he did that because he felt that it would ease us into it rather than, at that point, I think he truly knew that he was gay, but he chose to say that he was bi, thinking that it would make it easier for us, which actually, it made it harder because, then it was like, that we didn't know for sure, you know, if he was truly bi or if he was going to, if it was going to come to pass that he would be gay or that, you know, maybe he would be straight. And so it actually made it harder for us to have it that way. Plus, at that point, too, he happened to be house-sitting. So
he wasn't with you in the moment. He wasn't living with you.
No.
He was somewhere else.
Well, yeah, because he was right. Mm-hmm. At that point, he was staying elsewhere.
So you had this letter. Yeah. Sorry, Di.
No, I just wanted to say, so you had the letter. Did you have a conversation with Jeff? I mean, did you call him to say, what's this letter about?
Yeah. Like, okay, you have this letter in your hand. Now what? Steve?
You know,
did you open the letter together, or?
No, it was, I think Lois found it, and we discussed it later.
I think I remember you saying, there's a letter on the kitchen counter. And then when I saw the letter, I mean, before I even opened it, I think I knew what it was, because I knew it was from Jeff. And at that point, I really, really felt that he would be telling us that he was gay.
Before you opened the letter?
Yes.
It didn't all come as a great surprise.
But the bisexuality part, though, that's what I'm asking about. Him being bisexual?
Came as a surprise.
Mm-hmm. That was a surprise.
So did you ever talk to him about that?
I'm I'm sure that we did at this point. I'm not really remembering too much conversation because, like I said, at that point he was house sitting. And then Jeffrey's schedule is always so hectic that he is never around. And then not too long after that, he went and he was away for 7 months working on a cruise ship. And during that time, I had a lot of time that I did talk to him on the phone, and he would mention different things that had happened where he was doing this or he was doing that, you know, because he was gay. And so then it just kind of became, you know, okay, then he is gay. And a lot of times on the phone, it just didn't seem real appropriate to get into these to this real heavy conversation. So we were able to talk more after. But also then, once he did come back from that 7 months, you know, he was only home for 11 days and his sister passed away. Mm-hmm. And so there were different things that just kind of kept really kind of postponing any real big conversation with him.
Did you, Steve, did you talk with Jeff during that time, like Lois has explained, while he was on the cruise ship?
Not really. I was mostly either at work or if he called when I was home, she usually had the conversation. I mean, I'd get on and say hi and how you doing. But as far as discussing his sexuality, we never really delved into it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just curious. You know, the letter... I don't mean to dwell on it and all that, but, you know, from your perspective, there's a letter on the counter. You choose not to read it. You tell your wife there's a letter on the counter. Mm-hmm. She reads it. She shares it with you. Then Jeff is gone for 7 months, and you don't talk to Jeff about the letter. So I'm just curious what was going on, Steve, in you, inside you as a father, what was going on?
Well, like I said, it wasn't a big surprise to me, you know, because... you know, growing up with him and seeing his physical abilities, his mental attitudes, his emotional attitudes, it was obvious to me that he was not going to be a super masculine individual. You know what I mean? But not that he was feminine, but he was super emotional. He was super intuitive and intelligent and considerate, you know, and a lot of positive traits that I wouldn't change for the world, you know.
But, so we're going to get into his childhood a little bit later, but I really want to pinpoint you right now, okay? Instead of going to how Jeff was and that what I hear is that you weren't surprised about what he said in the letter, but okay, you weren't surprised, but now you have this information for real. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with it? What are you feeling and what are you thinking in these 7 months while Lois is talking to him?
It was nothing real tragic or emotional that I felt we needed to discuss because it was kind of out in the open, and there wasn't any real heavy discussion that Jeff and I needed to have, I don't think, as a father and son, you know, because he knew I loved him and I was going to accept him for who he was regardless of what he wrote in a letter. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't anything he could say in a letter that was going to change the way I feel about him. Mm-hmm. You know,
So did you, Steve and Lois, did you have a conversation when you read the letter about the letter? Did you, like, oh, were you concerned?
I think, you know, somewhat, obviously we definitely talked about it. I don't remember any real big thing. At that point, his sister was alive that, was 13 years older than him. And so she was really like his mother. And she is the one that he had come out to and talked to. And she knew about, you know, his dating another boy and, you know, more of his experiences where he hadn't felt, you know, comfortable sharing those with us. And so probably more of my conversations were with her because, you know, she knew, and I was just so proud of her, too, that she, you know, he had confided in her, and she kept that to herself, you know, and respected his wishes.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, okay, great. So I feel good about the letter now. We went around on that one. So as far as you knowing, so let's just move into who Jeff is or was when he was a young boy, because it's very clear that there you knew something was going on. So that's why you didn't have that major reaction with the letter.
Yeah.
So tell us what you saw. Give us more about what Jeff was about and who he was.
Right from the very beginning, Jeffrey was very different, even the way that he came into the world, being born at 6 months, and I was only 6 months pregnant when he was born, and so there were a lot of different things that went on and health-type things that, but then as he grew, he was completely different in that he never really watched TV or watched cartoons or did things like that. He was always wanting to do projects. And I think what the time that, you know, I saw it the most was he had barely learned how to write, and we woke up one morning with him bringing us a list of like everything in the whole kitchen listed as to what we could have for breakfast. So there, you know, he was different from the beginning. He, you know, he didn't want to go out and play and do different things like, if you want to, normal, quote unquote, normal kids did. He, you know, he always seemed to kind of want to do things different. I think one of the things that really stands out in my mind was when he was really young and we went and bought him shoes and he was offered the balloons and, you know, he wanted the pink balloon. And then also with it having an older sister, she had a doll carriage. There was an old doll carriage of hers. And we have a son that is 7 years older than Jeffrey. Well, that his brother wanted to take the doll carriage and tear it apart and take the wheels off and reconstruct it, where Jeffrey wanted to take, you know, a stuffed animal or something like that and put in the doll carriage and push it around and nurture it.
How cute.
So I'm curious, in that moment, like, how old was he?
With the doll carriage?
Yeah.
Probably like 4 or 5.
Okay, so you have this 4 or 5 year old boy. You know he's not your normal, typical, stereotypical boy, unlike your other son. What do you do with this information? Do you suspect he might be gay as he came into his sexuality at that point when he was 4 or 5? Steve?
Well, we were watchful of him just because of his traumatic birth. We were always, you know, worried about his health, worried about, you know, I mean, for the first couple of years, we worried whether or not he was going to be mentally and physically normal, you know, and because he was birth asphyxiated and had been given a lot of steroids prior to his birth. And there were just a lot of things going on that gave me reason to be watchful, you know, and then just to know that he was physically capable and mentally more than mentally there. You know, he at the time that he was starting to show any signs that I could recognize that he wasn't going to be straight, I'd say it was more like when we got him involved in some team sports and then later in Cub Scouts and things like that, where he was directly interacting. Now, most of the sports were not bisexual, but they were co-ed, I guess.
There you go. Okay.
and so there wasn't a lot of he never. I don't think he was ever involved in a team that was all boy, but he was always, you know, he was more excited just to be there playing with the other kids and. He, as opposed to learning how to play the game or being, you know, learning the tactics of the game, he was just content to be a cheerleader on the sidelines. He was just very happy and very excited just to be there.
It sounds like you both were okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, after raising our two other kids, and then to have Jeffrey unplanned and basically a blessing, you know, we were, you know, pretty much there for him no matter what, you know, and there was nothing that was going to change that because it was an interesting time in our life, you know, and it has been ever since. he's given us a lot to be proud of and a lot of us to be happy for, you know, so.
Wow, nice. So he liked the pink balloon. He was a compassionate guy with the
very
stuffed animal in the buggy. And there was one more special quality that, oh, he was very smart and wise. He knew how to go into the kitchen and make the list for you guys. How helpful.
He was,
I mean, what wonderful qualities to have in a child.
Oh, yeah. His intelligence and his communicative skills, his deep emotions. You know, he had deep empathic feelings for life and people around him, and it was something that you don't see in a lot of kids because they're more interested in what's in it for them, you know. And he was more concerned about the old lady that lived next door became his surrogate grandmother, you know. Mm-hmm. And his close relationship with his sister were all things that probably made him feel more comfortable with who he is, you know? And even before he was able to tell us, you know, he was comfortable with it, except for the harassment he received from the other kids.
Yeah, that's exactly where I wanted to go next. I was thinking, you know, here you are, you're lovely parents to accept this boy child for whatever he was able to bring into the world, for you to be so accepting. I mean, what a blessing for both of you. I mean, you've talked about what a blessing Jeff is, but boy, I'm just thinking, here you guys are just so accepting of who he is in the world, and now we have school. And I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about school and his experiences with other kids. And you just mentioned harassment from other kids and how that came to be.
Go ahead.
school was really hard, especially I would say from about the third grade on. If I had to do it all over again, I don't know that I wouldn't have homeschooled Jeffrey. But he did seem to, you know, want to be there with the other kids. But from about the third grade on, you know, he was harassed or bullied, you know, relentlessly. And his way of dealing with it, too, was that, which I thought was great, was that at recess, instead of going out on the playground and being totally harassed, he would go into the library and, you know, help the librarian. Or once he was, like, in the fourth grade and from there on up, he could go into the library and they had computers and he could teach other children on the computers and different things like that, where to me, I thought that was a great benefit for Jeff. And where the school was wanting, you know, oh, no, he should go out on the playground and, you know, play Foursquare or do whatever, you know, which Foursquare I called fight ball, really. But, you know.
Why do you say that?
Just because the kids were always fighting about it rather than, you know, playing and interacting well with one another. And why should he be out there doing that? And why should I be forcing him to go into a situation where he's going to be, you know, belittled and harassed and bullied, where he could go into the library and, you know, he he would organize the books, and he would help with the librarian, and he would check books in. And she even had enough faith in him in the third grade that he was checking books in and deleting things from the computer and different things like that, just because he was so organized, and that's where what he wanted to do. So, and he was learning from that, from teaching the other children with on the computer and everything. He was interacting with those other children, but he was also, you know, learning how to deal with trying to teach and different things like that.
So he had a safe place, which was great.
Absolutely.
So so can you say a little bit about at third grade, what did you see happening for him to be bullied, and how did you handle that with the school and with Jeff? How did you support him in not having that happen?
I think that, you know, at that point, by the third grader, I think the children had just gotten old enough that it was explained to me at one point, and I don't know whether this is exactly true or not, but in high school, a teacher asked me if I thought that Jeffrey was gay. And at that point, I said no, because I had convinced myself, and he had tried to convince me, and because he was also trying to convince himself that he wasn't. But a teacher had asked me if he was gay, and she explained to me that she said, because if he is gay, that would probably answer a lot in that the children sense it. And so I don't know if it wasn't that physical difference in him that by the time the children were, you know, around the third grade age, that they actually started to sense that, and they sensed something about him being different. And I really feel that most people don't, when they can't really address difference, they are afraid of it, and so they react to their fears. And I think the way that they react to their fears is by aggressiveness. And at that point, I think that that's where the, you know, the bullying and harassing came from, because they didn't know how to deal with their fear of him being different.
And Jeff came home to you and said, "Mommy, this is happening."
Right. Absolutely.
Did you go and talk to the schools? How did you deal with that?
Yeah.
The third grader coming home telling you that you're being bullied. Steve, you want to jump in?
I just kind of remember that the teachers were somewhat helpful. You know, they weren't like on Jeffrey's case for whatever reason. You know, they weren't forcing him to go out and play on the playground. They would let him be comfortable with what he was doing, but they still felt that it wasn't completely normal, or what they considered, you know, normal for a kid his age to want to be doing the things that he wanted to do. But he was always more comfortable being around adults than being around his peers, because of the you know, it's kind of like they become predatory, or I don't know if it's human nature, kind of like the run of the litter thing, where somebody wants to be dominant and somebody is going to get picked on. And it's a hard thing to control on the playground, for sure. In the classroom, they can keep their thumb on the bullies, you know, but out on the playground, it's almost impossible. And so I think they let it, they let Jeff do what he wanted to do, and it removed them from the equation too, because they didn't have to make a choice or become a deciding factor.
So that was elementary school. What happened in junior high? Was it the same or different? Was he able to go to the library and help out, or help the teachers out? Or?
It was similar, but he was able to find other things to do on his own and occupy more of his time with other teachers. He started to get into the theatrical side of things, and lighting and sound, and he was doing other projects for the teachers with the computers that they weren't able to do, and he was. And you know, he was it's fortunate that he did get into the computer as young as he did, because it's given him a lot of the skills that he now makes a living at. But
it was a safety net, too.
Yeah.
Computers were a safety net, and he had a skill that the adults didn't have. They needed him as much as he needed them, it sounds like.
Very much, yeah.
Right. He did a lot of helpful things at the schools, to where any school that he did leave, they would tell us that they were going to have to hire a new employee to be able to take over right. what Jeffrey had been doing for him.
Well, we're going to have to take a music break right now. You brought in two songs, and we'd like to play one of them right now. Could you, Steve, could you introduce this song, the Tom Petty song?
Well, actually, that's Lois's song.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it Don't Back Down. And anytime I hear this song, I really think of Jeffrey, because anything in his life, anything that he was ever presented with or that he wanted to do, he never backed down and always accomplished what he wanted.
Thank you.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care. Serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. On the web at afamd.com. And from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of parents, family, and friends of lesbians, gays, transgender, and intersex persons. The Santa Rosa support group meets at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. Information about support group meetings in Napa, Marin, or Mendocino counties is available at 1-866-350-2462 or on the web at pflag-nb.org.
And welcome back to Living Proof. If you just joined us, we're in studio with Jeff Basham's parents, Lois and Steve. Welcome everybody back from our music break. That was a very nice song by Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down. Lois brought it because it reminds her of Jeff and his life. So we were talking during the music break about Jeff and his, you know, being a very special child, but we also want to bring it back to your experience of a gay child being harassed in school. As parents, some parents feel like it's not their business, the school's going to take care of it. Some parents want to be in the school every second of the day. How did you handle it, Steve and Lois? How did you guys handle Jeff coming home in junior high, and we're going to get to high school in a minute, knowing that he's being harassed and he's trying to be using his computers to be safe with the teachers?
It was definitely a trying time. I mean, we, Jeff would come home in tears, and not want to go to school some mornings, sick to his stomach. And it was tough for us to feel like, we didn't want to force him into that situation, but we didn't want him to miss his education. So there was, we had to make choices but we had to go with our heart, And
so what did you do?
We took it as it came, basically. Mm-hmm. There were good days and bad days, and there was times when, but we weren't going to force him to go if he didn't want to go.
So the days that he felt sick, he just stayed at home, stayed in bed.
Yeah, or he had his computer at home and he could do his homework. He could work ahead in classes. We gave him as much space as he needed to survive.
What a gift!
Because it, for a child that age, it's.
What age are we talking?
Well, we're talking 12, 13, 14. Mm. When you're starting into puberty and adolescence. It's and you're finding out about your sexuality. It's definitely a strain on the system physically and mentally, and for any kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just LGBT youth. It's mm-hmm. It's tough on all of them. And but I do believe for the LGBT youth that are out there that. That are listening to this program and having trouble relating to their parents or getting their parents to relate to them, all I can say is it's you just have to be patient with each other. And if you can't get your parents to listen to the show right now, get them to listen to it on the blog, on the website later on, because it might help them start to understand what you're going through. And
I'm just thinking about, is there a situation that maybe we can go toward in Jeff's high school years or junior high school years that happened when he was bullied that maybe we can kind of feel how you got some reaction? Because I have a sense that you have some kind of anger or some frustration or something that you're holding on to in your body,
It's like, a natural frustration that you feel with the system that isn't conditioned to help an LGBT youth. I mean, they're not against them, but they're definitely not designed to prevent bullying or help the kids when they're having a problem. A lot of times they just try and slough it off as kids will be kids, and it's not it might have gotten by for the last 30 or 40 years, but it's becoming an issue now that's driving kids to suicide, and it's a scary situation that needs to be addressed at all levels.
Mm-hmm. Lois, you want to add?
Yeah, I think where you wanting to know when he was young and what we did with the school, and really there probably wasn't a whole lot, just in that, because any time that we would mention it, it would just kind of, if we did go and talk to a teacher or something like that, back then, because this was, many years ago, that it was still the, old kids will be kids type thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's where the mentality was at that point. So it didn't do us a whole lot of good. What we did was work with Jeffrey at home in helping him to deal with what was happening to him at school. Mm-hmm. And, basically discrediting what the kids were saying or what they were doing and building him up and giving him the confidence to know that who he was absolutely okay. And it just didn't matter what those little children had to say.
Tell us about the knives.
In high school, he was in a class that was a very advanced computer class, and it was actually for seniors, but he was so advanced at that point that as a freshman, they let him be in that class. And so those children, the kids in that class were not supervised. There wasn't a teacher in the class. They were kind of given a project or whatever that they were working on with the computer, and then they were left on their own. And so in that class, they definitely, you know, harassed Jeffrey a lot, because one thing, he was a freshman in this class, and, you know, at that point, he wasn't under, you know, he hadn't admitted to himself that he was gay, but they definitely, you know, harassed him in that type of, you know, calling him, you know, gay and fag and different things like that. But they, at one point, they took him in and had shoved him into a closet. And the room was a science room, and in the back room there were knives used for cutting up specimens and stuff like that. One of the kids ran in the back, and it was 2 10-inch butcher knives. And when they opened the door, then the child was holding these 2 knives above Jeffrey. And, you know, then that he took off, of course, and, you know, he wasn't harmed in that, but of course it mentally scared him to death. And so there was a couple of days that he just would not go to school. And then finally he told me what was going on. And so at that point I immediately took him, and we went to the school, and we went straight to the principal, and I said, you know, I want to know what the knives are even doing there, and also, you know, what the situation is and everything else. And so they sent somebody to the back room, and they did find the knives, and they did bring the knives back to the principal's office. And I was, it actually is a bucket of knives, and they brought the bucket back to the principal's office. And so there were a lot of different things that happened there. I exposed that there were a bucket of knives being left to where children could get them. So I'm sure that they're feeling defensive and, oh my goodness, this can't get out, that our school has let this happen.
And the kids run supervised.
And then, yeah, and that we have left the children unsupervised, which was not okay. And then what happened was that we told who the other boys were, they were seniors. And so what happened was, of course, they went home, and they're not going to admit to their parents what had happened. And so then also the parents, they didn't want their senior children they didn't want this to go on their record because of college, and they definitely wanted them to be able to graduate, and there were a lot of different things going on there. So these 2 boys turned it around on Jeffrey and accused him of sexual harassment. And all the parents came in and basically lied completely, you know, barefaced lied about that Jeffrey had sexually harassed their children. And so the whole thing basically turned around on us. And then there was this, you know, like 10 or 12 day investigation of Jeffrey all of a sudden, rather than any type of an investigation over these 2 boys that had held knives over him.
What did you guys do about that?
There wasn't a whole lot that we could do. We kept in contact with the school. I kept, you know, why is Jeffrey being harassed when this is, you know, why is he being investigated when it was these other 2 boys that did this? We didn't really get anything from the school other than there's nothing we can do. There's all these parents coming in. There's these parents saying this. Jeffrey doesn't have any witnesses. And finally, it was kind of that the whole thing was almost kind of just dropped. One boy had been found to have had a pocket knife in his possession, which another child had seen and was able to witness. So he wasn't able to go to, I think, the prom, and I don't think he was able to march with his class for graduation. But other than that, it was basically that they just came to no conclusion at all, and the whole thing was dropped. until that summer when I happened to go to the school during the summer for something, and the principal and a couple of other administrators at that point, when they saw me, came up and were telling me that they knew that the parents were absolutely lying, but there was just nothing that they could do. So it was more, there wasn't a whole lot that could be done. And so once again, it was just giving our support to Jeffrey to be able to get him through a very difficult situation and support him so that he could still have, you know, confidence in himself.
Wow, this is such a hard situation. You're out there fighting for your child, being harassed, and you can't do anything. You're helpless.
I was to the point of wanting to go to the school myself and either confront the kids or try and get some satisfaction from the instructors and find out, you know, what kind of school are you running, you know? Mm-hmm. But at that point, I felt like it was just going to bring more harassment down on Jeff, you know, because the kids band together, they're more apt to pick on in a group as opposed to individually.
So don't make waves because your kid's going to get picked on more.
Exactly.
Look what society has brought on us. That's why all these gay kids are, you know, committing suicide, and nobody's at their defense, and nobody, you know, you can't fight the school system. Something's got to change.
So I'm curious, this was probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. I'm curious if you would do anything different if that were to happen again.
I think today I definitely would, in seeing, you know, all of the gay youths that are committing suicide, mm-hmm. and all of the different things that have happened. You know, I think at that point, instead of just relying on the school, that situation, I think I could have taken it to the police. I mean, at that point, it was even that. But just like Steve said, we were so hesitant to do anything because we just knew that it was going to make it worse for Jeffrey. But boy, in this day and age, I absolutely would, because I feel that a child is not able to bring a weapon to school. And I feel that bullying and harassment is just exactly the same as a weapon. And it should be treated the same. The school system absolutely needs to start punishing bullies exactly as they would someone that brings a weapon, because they both harm and they both kill.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be zero tolerance. You know, any exceptions leaves the door open for somebody to come in and lie. And granted, it opens a possibility of a gay youth being able to say he's being harassed because he doesn't like somebody, or, you know, because kids will do things that they don't realize the harm they're doing, just as in maybe the bullies don't either. Mm-hmm. But it's a situation that definitely needs to be addressed. I'm overjoyed to see the youth advocate groups that are coming up on campus now for Pride, for Positive Images, for, a lot of different organizations are coming out now, because the number of LGBT kids is growing.
Yeah.
Because more of them are more comfortable coming out at a younger age.
Yeah. You both seem like you're just so much into being advocates for kids, for gay kids. I'm wondering if there's anything, and we have about 5 minutes, I'd say. I think it's a good time to just, what would you tell parents if you were talking to a parent who's coming to you because their kid is gay and they don't know what to do, and the kid is being bullied at school? I mean, you both are so strong right now. What if we were to take a snippet and copy it and give it to every parent of a gay youth, what would it say? Mm-hmm.
Just give your child all the love and support you can. Protect them. Don't make them go to school if you feel that that's where they're being harassed and it's making their life a living hell. It's not worth it to miss a few days' education to have the mental health of your child destroyed. I mean, it comes down to you want them to be around for the rest of your life and be able to watch them grow up. And if they're being bullied and harassed, then take it to the extreme. Hire a lawyer. Call the police. Call the principal. Call the call the superintendent. Call the go to your board of supervisors. Make it an issue, because until somebody does it to the extent of even filing a class action suit and getting a making it a hate crime, it's just got to be taken to that level before the schools are going to take it seriously and actually treat the bullies as the disruption that they are to everybody. You know, I mean, it's because there's other kids out there that would rather tell the bullies to knock it off, but they're afraid of retaliation themselves. There's a lot of good kids out there. The bullies are a minority, even amongst the gay kids. But until somebody steps up and gives them some adult support, they're not going to fight the system.
Lois, you want to add? Thank you for that, Steve. Lois,
I think that any parent that has a child come to them and say that they're gay, at that point, I cannot see that changing anybody's love for your child. If you loved your child before that, that child is the exact same person that they were 5 minutes before they told you that. Mm-hmm. And if you love them at that point, you need to love them and support them and give them the confidence to be who they are, because that is who they are. They're not choosing to be that way. They definitely, it is something, it's in their genetics, just like my boys were blue eyes and blonde hair and gay, and the other one had brown eyes and dark hair and straight. And they are just who they are, and you need to allow them to be who they are.
How did you guys get to be this open? Mm-hmm. Who are you people?
Well, I think maybe growing up in the 60s had something to do with it. It was just being able to be open and free about who we were at that age, without a lot of parental resentment or retaliation. But raising two other kids, we already had some experience at it, and so it was easier for us to accept Jeffrey being gay and just knowing that unconditional love is part of the equation, and it's sexuality isn't going to change that, and a good parent or a loving parent shouldn't or wouldn't let that happen, because it's good to get hugs from your kids no matter what sexuality they are.
I think it's really important that that all the parents and everybody out there, what we need to do is we need to make gay normal. And being gay is normal. I love to say to a straight person that is saying, that it is a choice, I love to say, so why did you choose to be straight? Well, of course they say, I didn't choose. I just am. And it's the exact same thing for a gay person. They just are the same way, because it's genetic, and that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing right now, it's just, they also say, I don't go around having rallies or parades because I'm straight. Well, it's a civil rights movement at this point, and women would not be voting if there hadn't have been parades and protests, and there wouldn't be interracial marriage. There wouldn't be any of the things that there has been civil rights movements for, and that's just what this is. Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much. We have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity because you talked about what a wonderful child you have with Jeff. And we see you all over the community. Whenever there's some gay event, pride event, you're there with Jeff. So we know he's a gay man, right? But now he's sister demand a refund. Right. How is that? So tell us a little bit in a couple minutes about Jeff and how you see him in the community. And you're always there by his side.
Well, he's been, ever since he was 10 years old, he's been joining clubs and groups. And we've enjoyed all that. And he's expanded his knowledge in his circle of friends and his group of mentors. Over and over and over again. Every time he joins something, he becomes involved to the point of becoming a board member or a president. So when he joined the sisters, it was just kind of a natural progression of the fact that he's now comfortable being gay. And the sisters is a wonderful organization that it's all the Jeffrey's traits brought together, because he's so compassionate, he's community oriented, he loves getting out in the public doing fundraisers.
You love him for that.
And, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason not to, because it just brings out all the good qualities in him.
I love going to all these different events, and especially Pride and different gay-related events, because I feel that the people that are there are so genuine and
absolutely
really know who they are, and I love being around them. Also, they seem to love us coming as parents, because I think a lot of them maybe don't have their parents' support, and I love being able to give my parental support to everyone there, not just Jeffrey, but everyone. And I just love doing that.
And along with the pride issue, I'd like to say that there's one pride that doesn't get talked about a lot. It's parental pride in their gay child.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I feel deeply.
You guys ever march in the parade as parents?
No, we've always supported Jeff whenever he was part of it. And
we
go to Sonoma County Pride every year.
Uh-huh. Okay, this next on your list. You've got to march as
parents
of
absolutely.
We'll be there with our straight ally signs and our
yes.
and our rainbow shirts. So.
We have yes. to close down our show, unfortunately, you guys. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For being here. We want to thank Lois and Steve Bashan for joining us tonight. And we want to remind the audience that remember that you too can be living proof that you can be loving toward your children and courageous and supporting and embracing them as you go through your own process. Until next month,
good night.
There are images around us. Everything we see, some are real and some are fantasy. To the one who sees his vision, to the child who lives his dreams, you're the one to decide what you're gonna be. So give it your best, and don't you worry about what some may say. Follow your dreams, that's really all that you can do. Give it your best, and remember that life is what you choose.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care. Serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. On the web at afamd.com. And from October in Paradise, a benefit for the Sonoma County Task Force for the Homeless at Paradise Ridge Winery, Thursday, October 14th. Tickets and information available at 575-4494.
Follow your dreams. That's really all that you can do.